On this episode of Life Below Zero, Mother Nature shows no mercy.
One mistake can kill you out here.
An injury threatens Sue's independence.
Ouch! I'm in pain. I need to get medicine.
The Hailstones have a debt to pay.
He set us up good. We pay him back.
Glenn Villeneuve returns to the unknown.
Oh, grizzly bear hair.
And Andy's apprentice learns survival the hard way.
Negative 40 degrees. I got no wood.
Wind's been howling. I got a bit of snow. I can't get at my food because it's all snowed in. So I can't get into the freezer right now until I can dig out the door. But the body's hurting. It's the longer winter goes on, the more exhausted I get. So I got to be careful. Out here, it's not like you can take a sick day. I don't get 2 weeks vacation and a bunch of sick days to toss around. You got to get the work done when you got to get it done.
Isolated in a vast frozen tundra, Sue's got only herself to deal with whatever Mother Nature throws at her.
This is really built up over the last few days. The tip of that little tent right there, that's my freezer tent. But I need to dig out the door. You know, it's where my food is for the winter. I don't know what temperature it is, 30, 40 below. Who in their right mind says, let's grab the shovel and dig? But if I want to eat, probably a real good idea. Shoveling is the one motion I gotta be careful of, because you twist. And I'm already hurting. Yes! So I got caribou heart and bear backstraps, you know? And I can thaw that out, and there's a couple of nice little meals for me. But I gotta get this in my cubby, get this thawing out, and then get back to work. Ouch! Now that hurt. As I get older, the body doesn't bend, it breaks. I get hurt bad enough out here, that could be the end.
It's always good to work with your family and to work for yourself.
Money really has no home. It gets spent almost as fast as we make it.
We got basically what we call grub stake here in Alaska by a fella, a friend of ours named Kevin. And what he did was he provided us with equipment so that we could go do some gathering. He traded to us a motor. The boat motor's got us beavers. It's gotten us caribou. It's gotten us moose. And then my wife went out with the son, and they got seals. And my wife's making him a seal vest that's going to help pay off the engine that we got. He set us up good. We pay him back. We all benefit.
Native villagers depend on a barter system to survive. If the Hailstones don't honor this debt, they risk losing the good faith of the community.
Right now, my wife is probably scraping on the skin, and what I'm going to do is get her some alder bark. And the alder bark makes a wonderful solution that not only dyes the leather a beautiful red, it also helps tan the skin and preserve it. With the subsistence living that we do, we're fortunate that the tanning solutions for the skins that we need are right at hand, and everything I need is out here. Various willows have different textures. Water willows have yellow. Alder has red.
That's what we're looking for.
The red bark. This is what the dye will be made out of. It's the red underneath. That's where the tanning is. It's the natural way. Sure smells too.
I have four different types of skin scrapers. Me, I prefer this one. This was my mother's, and we call them ichun, which means skin scraper. It's pretty much just go over it like this and take off all the extra membrane and stuff. When I was growing up, there was me, and I had nine sisters, so we'd always be around our mom, and she'd always have all different kinds of skins, and we'd all sit down and we'd all learn how to do it. It's hard work if you're not used to it, but it keeps you in shape. Oh, you found some?
Sure did.
Look like that's gonna be enough.
Yep. I'm gonna put all this in here. These are the shavings from the alder. And I'm gonna put them in the water to simmer.
Let it rip.
It's colder than hell out here. When you get cold in this country, you gotta get up and you gotta move. That means you gotta put wood in the stove. You gotta take care of yourself.
Stupid mistake. I just woke up and I can see my own damn breath in my tent. -40 degrees. I immediately checked my fire and it's out and I got no wood. You have to be in a certain mindset out here. You gotta think ahead, and I wasn't thinking ahead.
New to life in the bush, Cody Allen is learning survival skills from Andy and Kate Bassage.
When you come out into this environment with this kind of cold, if you do the wrong thing, it can take your life.
And actually, I'm hoping he makes mistakes. And I hope he has a little bit of struggle, because that's when you really learn about how to take care of yourself.
That's not gonna cut it. Time to go back. I gotta go get another tree. And there's no way I'm going out there without a damn gun. Bears are probably hibernating, but we still got wolves, coyotes, whatever wants to get at you can, if it's got the will and the means.
We're trying to find a deadfall tree. Anything that's still got green on it, it's gonna be wet. It's not gonna burn with the dam. If I can find something that's gonna be kind of easy to carry back to camp, that would be my best bet. I don't know, I actually do. I'd say right about now, I'm kind of missing my thermostat. You know, that's kind of a get out of bed and, oh, it's 65. I want 70 degrees. I'm gonna go turn that thing a quarter inch. And out here, I wake up and, oh, I can see my breath and I can't feel my hands. I'm gonna get dressed, go spend 20 minutes walking through the forest, freezing cold, find a tree, drag it back to camp, cut it up, try and get my fire going again, and then hopefully get it back into my sleeping bag and get warmed up again. I'm freaking freezing. It's definitely a different world. I'm, you know, kind of missing some of the amenities right now. It's just a dumb mistake. I don't need to be attempting to get frostbite at all, which can very easily happen in these temperatures. Birchwood in there. I'll start the fire up nicely. Tonight could have gone really bad. You can't make big mistakes out here. You make the wrong one and you can be dead in a heartbeat.
I don't ever want to go through that again.
But
I kind of realize my knowledge isn't where it needs to be out here. I'm not set up in a way that I'm efficient, and I just don't exactly know what I need to do. It's kind of scary.
A lot of people find it frightening to be out in the middle of the wilderness, but I actually feel really comfortable there. And that's why I keep going back out there.
Andy, great. Thanks for the lift.
Okay.
Great to be back. Okay, see you, Andy.
Stay warm.
Have a good flight.
Thank you.
My name is Glenn Villeneuve, and I live here in Alaska. I came up here in 1999. I live a subsistence lifestyle in Brooks Range, about 200 miles north of Fairbanks. I got a really simple camp. I hunt and gather most of my food, live pretty close to the land. I use mostly hand tools. I cut all my wood with an axe or a handsaw, cook all my food on my wood stove. I don't have propane. I've given up a lot of technology over the years and living with simpler technology today.
Days are still pretty short this time of year, so I want to go get moved in before it gets too late. It's been 7 months since I've been in my camp. Normally, I hunt in the fall, get ready for winter, but this year, I decided to spend the fall with my family in town. I don't like living in town because I really miss being connected to nature. Basically, I have to hit the ground running because I got to get a fire going in order to stay warm and in order to get some water, because the way I'm going to get water is by melting snow.
60 miles from the nearest point of civilization, Glenn faces every obstacle alone with no lifelines.
I have grizzly bears that come out and sometimes cause problems at the camp.
One time I came in here, there was a big hole through the roof where a bear went through. The door was still closed, but I still won't know until I walk up there exactly what's happened since I left. I'm always concerned about that, that maybe a bear's caused damage. That's what I'm thinking about walking up to the cabin.
Just looking for what's been going on. I can see, you know, just tracks. And I'm gonna walk over to the cabin now and just take a closer look, walk around it and see if anything happened. Oh, something on it, isn't there? Grizzly bear hair. Oh, something on it, isn't there? Grizzly bear hair. Grizzly has been here. Those are all grizzly bear claw marks. Grizzly bears, they come around here and they rub on this cabin and scratch on it all the time, but they only went inside one time. I'm just gonna take my snowshoes off and walk around the cabin and see if I see anything. Back's all good, side's all good. Sometimes I've come up here and the place is just all ripped up. I found this canvas just in shreds.
The bears are usually hibernating this time of year, but occasionally one will come out. Bears can be very destructive, there's no question about it. A lot of the things that I own have been chewed on by bears. There's been bears standing right on my bed.
Awesome. It's nice all the way around. Nothing ripped it up.
Not sure what to expect. It can get wet and then it can get really moldy. I think it'll be dry, we'll see. Looks good. Everything looks the way I left it.
I just gotta go get all my stuff and bring it over here. It's gonna probably take a couple more trips.
Living in the Brooks Range the way I do, it requires a lot of physical work, but psychologically I actually find it easier than living in modern society. I just feel really comfortable living close to nature, and I miss that a lot when I live in town.
Final load, try to get moved in before it gets dark.
We try our best to teach our girls what we do with all the fishing and the wood gathering and the harvesting of meat.
The Hailstones are working hard to finish a sealskin vest to honor their debt in a trade.
At the end, before I do all my alder dye, I just sand it up and get all the rough stuff off. Usually with all the other skins, Chip and the boys and the other girls do them, but since my husband's non-native, I have to work on the sea mammal.
My wife and my kids can all do this stuff, but legally, I can't. She just carries on with what her ancestors have always done. Hi, girls, sweet pies. Why don't you come sit down and check out what your mom's up to?
I'm just in the final stages of sanding. I just have this little section left. See all these fuzzies? That's all that needs to come off, and we'll be done with the sanding part, and then we'll move on to dyeing it. Most of our traditions around here are like subsistence things, or for survival. For me, it's real important that the girls, all five girls, get to know all the traditional things I do. Sometimes this environment is real harsh, and the more the girls get involved and hands-on, the more they'll know.
I have the dye.
Yay, it turned out good?
It turned out like it should.
Oh, like those willows y'all use, Daddy?
Yeah, these are alders. Yep, those are the willows I use. I put these in, then I brought the water to a boil, and then I set it to simmer. You use this and keep them back. I gotta see what I'm doing, though.
You don't want to make it too wet, and you don't want to try to get the dye on this side. You just want to try to put it all over the top. And you don't want to leave stuff pooling like that. Make sure you stop.
There's all kinds of different things that they need to learn to survive and to pass down to their kids and try to keep it in our Inupiaq traditional manner. It's something that you have to be involved in because it's always doing something.
It's living.
Yeah, it's living.
There you go. That's how you do it. If we don't teach our kids how to utilize the materials, the animals, and the other things around here to heat themselves, shelter themselves, clothe themselves, and make money, they're not going to survive very well.
Looks like it's got an even coat all over, and you got majority of the little pools picked up. Good job, girls. You girls did real good.
If I can't get my body to work, the whole structure of my life is going to fall apart. My life is absolutely dependent on my ability to get my chores done.
Sue threw her back out, shoveling snow. And every moment she's laid up puts her very survival in the Arctic at risk.
I need my mobility back. And right now I don't have it. It's working against my bull in a china shop nature to lay there and be docile. I need to clear my runway. I need to move a bunch of snow. I have to get that done. There's nobody here to help me. I don't appreciate weakness. And when I find it in myself, it's important to me. It is important to me to know that I can rely on myself. Something I can do to help myself is go and get some willow, mack it up, and make some tea. Willow has salic acid, which is a pain reliever. So what I'm gonna do is look for a bush I can get to that's fairly close that I don't have to go surfing in the deep snow. I think that's my target over there. You have your vertebrae, there's little cushions called discs that do just that, they cushion. So mine were injured previously, spit out, where instead of being in between, they're spit out to the side. Is surgery gonna be in my future? I don't know, I hope not. I just need to be, more resilient to the pain than the pain stops me. Hey, score one for Sue. I gotta get better. There's a whole world of stuff I need to get doing. These cells of this plant are gonna leach into that water. So when I drink it like you would tea, I will get the benefit of a natural aspirin, a natural pain reliever. My great-grandma from Scotland had 1,000,001 natural cures. And she'd always say, you're not a woman if you cannot do it by hand. If you can't do it yourself, if you can't make it, then you're not, you're So I got my drink. I'll help myself with the pain with that, hopefully. And it's hurry up and wait. It's frustrating. The colder temperatures are on their way back. So I need to get as much work done as I can before the next snow and windstorm sets in.
Ah!
Son of a bitch. This is not working. I'm in pain. I tried the willow, and it's just not... It's not working. I need to get medicine. Real medicine.
Ah!
Son of a bitch. I need to get medicine. Real medicine. Feeling pain is a good boundary for me. By the time I'm in tears and I'm needing the help, by God, I probably really need the help. My flying conditions are great, but looks like there's a little fog over Dead Horse. I'm trying to call Bob to see whether or not he can get in the air and get the medicine to me.
Getting medicine to her remote location is going to cost Sue $1,000.
Sue.
Bob, how's your weather doing today? When are you thinking you might try to fly my direction?
Probably within an hour.
Okay. All right, Bob. Well, you fly safe.
Okay.
See you in an hour.
Okay.
It is absolutely my choice to live this way. Like I say, I want to be a lighthouse keeper, and I've got my lighthouse, and it's all groovy 99% of the time, and then there's that 1% where I have to rely on society. But it reinforces how grateful I am to be able to catch Bob and say, hey, man, I'm hurting. Help me out, and I can count on it.
Number one danger up here is the cold. When you get cold, you get hyperthermic. The first thing that shuts down is your ability to think properly and to reason. One mistake can kill you out here.
How much wood, wood?
Good morning.
Probably a lot if you wanted to stay warm. Oh, I kind of ran out of wood last night.
Oh, big mistake. And if you don't have it, you're not going to survive.
And you're spending a lot of time cutting wood on the ground, right? We're going to try and fix that today, okay?
Okay.
What I want to do is I want to get you started on using some hand tools, and your first project is going to be to build a sawhorse.
It'd be good to try and find one without a lot of branches for the main piece. There's a ton of dead stuff here from the flood. If they feel kind of punky, don't take them.
Why don't you just track me down when you start getting your pile together?
Sounds good.
With temperatures plummeting to 40 below at night, Cody's survival depends on being able to stockpile wood.
Right now, Andy's having me build basically a cutting station. The main thing it's going to do is bring me up off the ground at a level angle with the wood where I can actually cut it easily and not be down on my knees, sitting here freezing my knees up.
Every bit of the cutting station will have to be assembled by hand.
All right, looks like you got a good pile of raw material.
Yeah.
This is basically called a shaving horse, but it's basically just a clamp that allows you to use two hands. Using this to shape, we're going to be using this to shape the peg. So you'll, if you want to peg this like this long, you will be
shaving it down,
shaving it down. This is probably one of the better tools to master, the draw knife and the shaving horse.
Let's get it working so where tonight you don't have to be on your knees cutting wood. That's kind of the goal for today.
This will make cutting firewood for Cody probably go more than twice as fast. He's going to be able to just lay a piece on, whack it off, move over, whack it off. Feel pretty tight? That looks good.
Gonna be happy to get this built up so I'm not waking up freezing in the middle of the night. If I got into any more of a desperate situation, I probably would have ended up freezing to death out here, and that's freaking scary. So far, building this, it's definitely a challenge. I feel kind of like I skipped back in time a bit. Trees here, 2x4s, you gotta shave everything down, and you're definitely at a Home Depot around to go and pick up any supplies you need. Kind of taking a little bit of time to make sure I don't screw anything up. I just broke it. Notching this guy out and trying to be careful, but I just broke this off of there, and I don't know if it's gonna work anymore. Hey, Andy, got a question for you. When you're talking about that punky wood, softer stuff, is that it?
Yeah, that's all right.
It's cold now too, so things get brittle and they tend to crack and break easier when it's cold. That's not gonna matter. What's important is you have a shoulder here and you have a shoulder here that's still gonna lock the joint.
Okay.
Working outside at 0 degrees or below zero temperatures is never easy to begin with.
It's kind of right? Frustrating when you...
Well, hey, this is the best way to learn, though. I mean, you're doing this in some of the tougher conditions, right?
Yeah. That's a rewarding feeling. And I kind of cracked it right here, but for the most part, that's something pretty damn stable that I just built on my own. I like it. Pretty soon I'll be chopping wood like a madman.
Thing I always try and keep in mind is that if I do a good job on this, it's probably gonna last me the rest of my life out here.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it seems quite futile at times, you know, you start feeling like, man, am I ever gonna finish this,
yeah.
You know? But really.
Well, I think that, and it feels like it's probably not taking as long as I think it is. It's the fact we don't have that much daylight.
Right.
And it just seems like burning a lot of daylight sometimes.
Yep. Safer, somewhat close. Oh, look at that. I like that so far. Cody's completed his project to learn how to use some basic hand tools. What he needs to work on is developing the finesse with the tools. It's just gonna take a little bit of time. It's a rule of 10,000. Gotta do it 10,000 times to be really good at it. But for his first project, I think he did a pretty good job. Give yourself plenty of room around it. Hell yeah. What do you think?
I like it.
High five, dude. Good job.
Doing the happy dance.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, I like it.
Every animal basically has enough sinew to stitch itself up, has enough brains to tan its own hide, and has enough guts to make sausages out of all the meat. Kind of a crazy thing.
This is the one you want, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
In keeping with Inupiat tradition, Agnes uses only natural materials to make the seal vest.
Now, here's where we get the sinews from. These back straps right here. Sinew is a tendon, and they're nice and long, make excellent thread, and my wife will do her skin sewing with that.
What I do is I just go along the edge like this and just free the edge of the meat, trying to get my sinew out of there so it'll be nice and clean and I won't have no meat hanging on. Laid out flat so it'll dry real straight and I can be able to use it later. Maybe I'll just cut it out, That's where the back of the neck is. Ready, Cotton? I'm just gonna cut it out now and you can hold one side just so I make sure it's tight. And there we have the back. Well, I've learned how to do my skinning and sewing and making the patterns and stuff just the way Cotton is. Pretty soon she'll end up being the one to cut the pattern up and make sure it's correct. Hey, Cotton? This is what we got from the caribou earlier. When you peel the membrane and extra fats and stuff off, it just starts to separate by itself. Break it down, make it into thin strips, spin it, wet it, and then it becomes a thread like that. And you go a few stitches and then you put a knot there so in case it rips, the whole thing won't just come apart. This is pretty much almost done, and the dude is pretty much my size, so this will fit him perfect, I think. Right on.
The last places where there's real wilderness left tend to be the harsher climates. But I adapted, and that suits my nature pretty well.
And
Now it's getting dark again. I'm gonna be out most of the night tonight, I think, just to get really moved in here.
Yeah, I don't think in hours. Should I go for months without using a watch out here, or even a calendar?
As darkness falls, the temperatures plummet. Len must get a fire going if he's going to survive the night.
I have to get to the stovepipe. If I leave the stovepipe on, a lot of water can end up getting into your stove. So I gotta put the stovepipe back on. There's the hole right there. Okay. Now, I need to get some materials to start a fire. Here's my wood pile. The wood around here is not good quality firewood. And the other thing is up here, a lot of the wood is twisted. A lot of the trees are starting to rot once they get to be pretty big. So I'm looking for a good piece to split into kindling that's straight grain and solid.
It's getting cold. And build a fire.
Fire's essential to me living out here. I do all my cooking on a wood stove, heat my water on a wood stove, heat the camp with a wood stove. Can't live without fire out here. I go through about 4 cubic feet a day when it's cold weather. Right now it's 13 below outside, it's 13 below inside. And what I want to do now is get it warmed up in here. Because I'd rather not sleep in 13 below. This is a system that Arctic people always use to start fire. Because you can actually do it with mittens, even if it's 40 below zero. I'm just gonna put this mouthpiece in that's made out of caribou antler. And that's gonna support it. Right here. Problem. I got a coal, I got an ember, but I knocked everything and I'm gonna have to pick it up off the floor. I don't know if I can do that without destroying it. Problem. I got a coal, I got an ember, but I knocked everything and I'm gonna have to pick it up off the floor. I don't know if I can do that without destroying it. It's definitely going. It's just a question of, it slid off of my bark and I gotta get it, save it without putting it out. There, come on. Yeah, it's gonna go. Is so helpful. It's almost like an axe or a rifle. My blowpipe is just something that I can't get by without. It's just the shaft of a feather. Any tube will do about that size. You can take a ballpoint pen apart and use that. When I first started living out here, I didn't know how to do this, and I was completely dependent on matches. If something happened to those matches, what would happen to me? I don't have to rely on anything from town to start a fire. 100% I can start a fire with stuff out here. The most important things, I need to have shelter, I need to have heat, I need to have water. I haven't had anything to drink yet today, since I don't know when, this morning. I'm gonna go out and get some snow. I'm starting to get a little dehydrated. The way I live is a mental comfort to me. It's comforting to be close to nature and to be really connected to all the resources I use. I don't wanna just turn on a faucet to get my water. Okay, that snow's just about melted. Get about a third of a pan of water for each full pan of snow.
Had a good day. Got back to camp. Got moved in. Got a fire going. Got myself some water. That's everything I need today.
Up here, rich is being able to provide, and being rich is being able to share. I get what I can, and I keep what I must, and I give what I can.
Chuck's shop here. He's making me some ivory seal buttons, and I'll be able to finish the vest and then get that sent off.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Chuck. Not too much. I just finally got done with my vest, and I hope you got done with the buttons.
Absolutely.
Yay. I brought this over in for trade, and I got a few pieces
that
of...
That is just awesome.
A few pieces of wood.
Oh, and I need the heat. Looks like I'm going to make out real nice on this trade.
Yep, you sure are.
Awesome. Well, this is what I have. I hope it's acceptable.
Seal? Yay.
Ivory seals with inlaid baleen eyes.
Wow, that looks cool.
Oh, wow, that's just beautiful.
Wow.
I want to grub stake you now.
Yay, I'm on the last button. Feels pretty good that I'm almost done. I've been working at this project for a few days, and it's been kind of exciting. We caught this seal skin, we tanned it, we ate the meat, and now here we have it turned into a seal skin vest.
For us, it's like a way to pay off the equipment. So it's a giant karma thing where we're helping each other, and we're all getting what we want in the end, and it's a giant trade, but it's also kind of a business deal.
This is tied in with subsistence, obviously, because it's the skin of an animal that we caught and ate.
Not only the sealskin vest, the leather, the buttons are all from the country, so is the thread. So I didn't really have to pay for anything.
This is how subsistence comes around.
Perfect.
Get up and put it on.
Wow. Pop, you're gonna fit him perfect, huh?
I think he'll like it.
Good deal.
When I'm the only one that I count on in the winter to get my chores done, you know, the only ass that gets kicked for not completing the job is my own. Today is the day. I've got good conditions here. Bob has good conditions there. So he's gonna try and make my medicine drop. One snag, one little fly in the ointment is, on my runway, I have not been able to go out. I got some snow, a little bit of wind, so I may have drifts on it. What's hidden underneath this little bit of snow is ice, glare ice. So that's the danger. He can't see where it is. I can't tell him where it is. I'm not in good enough shape to get on my equipment and groom it for him, so he's gonna have to do what we call an airdrop. He's gonna line up with the runway and then go as slow as he can, open up the door and kick it out of the window. Hey, Bob, you got a copy on Sue? Zero wind. I'll start making my way out towards the runway, but if you can give me a minute, I'm a little bit of a slowpoke. Come on, Sue, come on. Okay, he's gonna start lining up. I am in position and ready, buddy. Okay, here we go. Me, it hurts. My left leg is shaking, it wants to give out. Come on, buddy, don't hit me in the head. You should open it up right around now. Come on, buddy, don't hit me in the head. Boom! Got it, buddy, right on target. Most of it made it on target. It's to be taken with food, so he gave me food, too. The food just didn't happen to quite make it as much. Yay! Bob, I really appreciate it. I want you to fly safe.
All right.
Thank you, Bob. 3 days. And I've got some medicine. It's emotional for me that people will help me like that. It makes me want to be a better person. The next challenge after I start healing is to slow my natural personality down and say, okay, baby steps, baby steps. Let's be a toddler on this. And I want to go gangbusters and be a football team.
Take one tablet by mouth 3 times a day.
It's for the swelling, anti-inflammatory. I'm hoping that 24 hours or less for being mobile enough to get some things done. What I need to do, get under these things right here and let the medicine do its work. Time for healing.
I don't care how cold it gets. I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care if I'm freezing in the middle of the night. I don't care if I'm hungry. So I'm answering my call to the wild.
Start getting my wood cut up so that way I got wood stacked up on the side before it gets dark and have stuff to burn throughout the night so I don't freeze to death. It's gonna keep me off the ground. It's gonna make it a lot easier for me to get 2 hands on the saw, cut through a piece, slide over, get my next piece. My knees aren't gonna be packed down in snow. It's also gonna make everything just go a lot quicker. This with how short the days are out here. You know, you gotta get enough wood built up to keep you warm throughout the night. Last piece for the night. Getting a little bit more settled in here than when I first showed up. I got a great little contraption over there that really just made, with the daylight we have out here, 2-3 days worth of work of all the groundwork, freezing cold, standing up now, and it knocked it out in 3 or 4 hours, so.
Cody's completed his project to learn how to use some basic hand tools. I think he did a pretty good job. He's not afraid of the hard work, and he seems to be highly motivated to want to live this lifestyle, and that's what it takes.
One of the first major lessons I learned out here is being prepared. I mean, running out of firewood in the middle of the night, that was just dumb, but learned my lesson from that. Just from that night, I can see myself looking a little bit farther ahead in everything I do. You know, is this going to help me for the next 15 minutes or is this going to help me for the next 15 years? If you think short term out here, then you're going to end up in a ditch pretty quick. After the experiences I just went through, I'm feeling damn proud, damn happy, and good to be alive.